Hello, listeners, and welcome back to another Shop Talk Show. We are here again for another topic. This time, we will be discussing music in the game with Omar. Omar is from the Tale of D20s podcast. And Omar, why don't you go ahead and say a little something about yourself in the podcast?
Sure. Thank you. Thank you for having me. My name is Omar, and I am the CEO and owner of a Tale of D20s LLC. We are a podcast network currently with two shows, the drama Descent into the Void, where we have our heroes go deeper within the world of the void and facing against the gods themselves and trying to save the multiverse. And then we have the comedy, The Natural Ones, where we follow heroes and on a very whimsical, comical adventure as they go deeper into the Rose Lands and save the world from impending doom.
Very cool. Very cool. And if you're coming at us from one of your guys' feeds, my name is Jason Leonard. I'm the player of Tam Westcrown on the Serpent's Skull Adventure Path run in the Shield Bash podcast. It's a Pathfinder actual play, and we release every 2 weeks. We just have the one feed because we're not fancy with titles except for what we choose to give ourselves. Yes. But like I mentioned, today's topic is music in the game. And everybody knows, you know, music in media is a very powerful thing. That's the reason why it's in every movie you've ever seen ever. But Omar, what drew you to this topic today?
If you listen to our podcast, you'll see that we have lots of music. There's background music, music that changes the atmosphere, and for the purpose of that, I love music. I love sound, and I feel like it influences the gameplay. At one moment, you could be having a tense scene where your characters are having an argument, and then have that music just amplifies it that much further. It just brings a whole new feeling to the roleplay, and just exponentially increases its impact to the listeners, I feel, and to the players, most definitely. Like, I feel like my, because I'm the resident Taleweaver for Descent into the Void, which means I'm the Dungeon Master, a fancy word for Dungeon Master, and I like to pull out the emotion from everyone, so when I can hit that perfect song of where the one character is seeing their mother for the first time and then tears are running down their face and you have that sad music that hits, then not only do we have to act, but like it's almost like we become the characters 100% and they lose themselves within the character. And that's what I want to capture, that moment where you're no longer a player playing a character. Like, you are your character. You are, like, one of our characters, Horatio Kane. You are Horatio Kane. You're not playing Horatio Kane. And I feel like that's where the golden point is. That's where the juice is.
I agree. My question, do you run the music while you're playing, or do you add it in post? It sounds like you definitely run it while you're doing it.
Yes. So I do run the music while we're playing. I use a very different software and get it on and get it in. And after post, when I'm listening and editing it, I'm like, okay, so maybe that song didn't work as well. Or maybe I can find something more dramatic and I'll place it on there. But for the most part, what you're hearing in the podcast is exactly what the players are hearing when they're playing the game.
Nice. I think music almost like subconsciously influences people when it's done right. Mm-hmm. You know, like, because if you throw down a weird track at a weird time, it can break tension and make everyone laugh. But, you know, a good soundtrack helps invest you in what's happening, you know, especially when you can't see it.
Exactly.
So, yeah. It's, you know, we do all of our music post because we're just haven't quite figured out how we want to start doing it during, but it's definitely something we've been looking at for a while. You mentioned what kind of software do you use?
So right now, we used to use a bot in Discord, because we all record within Discord. We all use Audacity and record ourselves, and then I use Discord as a backup just in case something were to happen. So there's a bot called Groovy that can play the music, but I've recently gotten into something called Bardly, B-A-R-D-L-Y, where it's you upload all of your songs, and they give you free songs, free of use songs, but we upload all of our original songs, as well as the ones that we have licenses to. And it can easily transition from one to the next. You make groups that say like battle music, tearful music, epic music, and I just hit the play button and it will fade out and fade into what I was playing, and it just, everyone just needs to have the internet open, that page open, adjust the volume to how you see fit, and yeah, and then that's what we use. So Bardly's been a great program.
It sounds like it, and especially if it works for multiple people at a time, mm-hmm. who are, you know, spread out like that. Do you do most of your recording, like almost all your recording, through the internet?
Yeah, exactly. Because of everything with COVID right now, we've been doing everything remote, and everyone just hops on, puts on their camera, get into Discord, and then I'm like, go to this website, because everyone with Bardly, you get your own website with all your music, and then they just listen. I control it, and they just listen to it as they go.
That's fantastic. I don't, like, we've recorded in person, but I think I might check that out for other purposes.
It's great. Yeah, I definitely suggest it. Pretty Bardly plug.
Yeah, in fact, while we're sitting here, totally talking about the music, I'm not looking this up. Is it Bardly.com or?
Bardly.io.
.io. Okay, yeah, listeners, don't worry. I'm totally invested in this conversation and not looking that up right now. Just save for later. Yeah, that's also how these conversations is also how I got hooked onto the IDEA website, which is the International Database of English Accents, which is also... totally off topic, but is fantastic. Like, if you ever want to hear somebody from another country speaking English to try and master an accent, that's where you go.
I will write that down. Thank you for that.
Some music, right? We're talking about it from, like, on, you know, the side of a podcaster. Everybody who listens to a lot of these podcasts, you've heard of Sirenscape. Everybody knows Sirenscape, right? Mm-hmm. Roll20's got some stuff in it as well. And, you know, worst comes to worst, you set up a little Bluetooth speaker next to your microphone and just have it real faint in the background. But one of the big things, too, for a lot of games, especially when they start meeting in person again, is going to be, you know, where can they find good music? Now, Bardly sounds like the fantastic source, because it's going to work in game, whether you're in person or recording remotely. A lot of people use YouTube. Do you have any other places that you try to find music at?
So, YouTube, one, is amazing. But when doing a podcast that we're putting on for everyone to listen to, there's always the whole thing about getting the rights to music and everything. So, of course, I'll start off by saying, if you're doing your own campaign and you're at home, use the already brilliant composing music that has already been composed from several video games and epic music for your soundtrack. Go on. But for a podcast point, I also do music myself, so, and we also have a lot of people who do music in A Tale of D20. So we would either A, create our own music. Our theme song is original, written by me and other artists I have worked with, as well as our main theme. We have a theme song, an intro song, and a main theme song that you'll hear every time I do the recap. So those were done by us through through Fruity Loops or one of those type of programs. But also, we did a lot of talking and with other composers and said, hey, we love your music. Can we give you credit? Because I think you always give credit to the people who aid you and the people who supply you with their work. And they're like, totally, yeah. Jan Rosa, I will give them a plug right now, has been one of the forefront in our campaign, Descent into the Void. The music with Jan Rosa is just passionate, and it brings the tears, trust me. So speaking with Jan, they were like, go right ahead, use it. Just give me credit. Of course, we give you credit all the time, and we built a friendship because I'm just like, I love your music. You're the soundtrack to our campaign. So reaching out to other composers, and I would say it's a good way to do it if you're running a podcast or try to create something on your own. It's not very difficult once you take some lessons and start practicing.
Yeah, and if you need lessons, you can harken back to YouTube and go that route. Yeah, I know we the program we use to record is called Traction, and is actually originally designed for music. One of the guys has been messing around with it, but we don't have the expertise that you guys have, but it must be fantastic. I know another podcast, Dimension Door, one of their guys also does a lot of sound stuff, and he wrote all of their tracks initially, and then they got a hold of a local heavy metal group to do some of their stuff as well. And it's just,
oh yeah,
I know I have in the past used Free Music Archives to find stuff, and you do have to pay attention. You know, like Omar said, the music we use is all by a person named Lee Rosevier, and all we have, you know, the only thing that's listed is accreditation. It's all, everything's listed as music by. And it's been fantastic just to be able to find pretty much anything that I need for, because there's so much out there that you can find.
Totally, yeah. Basically, if you guys want to get music campaign, it's search for it. You can Google it, and you'll find so much there. There's something for everybody in every type of podcast.
Oh yeah, yeah. And you know, when you mentioned like all the video game companies, I oftentimes will put on the Skyrim soundtrack when I'm just trying to work on something else, because it's there's so much there, and it's not very wordy, you know, so it's easy to listen to and concentrate on what's happening.
Yeah, I love the Skyrim. So before I started making my, so I base my music, like my inspiration comes from Skyrim. I'm just like Skyrim day music, Skyrim night music. What do they put in there? They have twinkles to symbolize night. You can hear crickets in the background. You have that like kind of that like certain beats that are very slow and do that you would associate with nighttime. And I'm like, this is how you make music. I love it.
Yeah, no, I've got the one. It's like 3 hours long. That I just go to, and like when I start typing it in YouTube, it just pops up, and I'm like,
yeah.
Well, you know, I'm gonna be reading this scenario or this book or working on this, so it's, you know, I got that running in the background because it just helps concentrate. And you're right, like there's one I can still in my mind hear the "you just entered town" sounds. You know, it's, and it, you know, it part of it is, you know, because I played it for so long. When I hear it, I'm like, I just feel like I just got home. And more than just music, though, that's one of the things to talk about is I personally don't really use a lot of music in my game. I'm more of a fan of the environmental sounds.
Oh,
rain,
yes.
Dripping water, clash of swords, whatever it happens to be, you know, crowded marketplace. What is your opinion on those?
I think it's great, and I would say that there's a certain feeling you get from listening to the sound effects. Like for instance, we had an episode where everyone was at the dock, so we have like the sounds of bells ringing, wave crashing. It's almost as if the listener can just smell the wind from the salty winds from the sea or something like that. Especially when you top it on, you compound it with like a description saying like you step into the harbor, the winds from the sea wafts over your noses, and you hear like that ding ding in blowing wind, like it really makes it come to life, not only for the listeners but for the players, and that brings out the best kind of reaction in the players, so you have like gold content from them.
I can hear the gulls now.
Yeah.
Creaking of wood of the ships in the dock.
Mm-hmm.
It does help a lot. Have you ever had any bad experiences with music or sound effects?
I would say yes. So I'm not perfect. Especially it's difficult when you're listening, when you're in a live actual play and you're trying to make sure the music fits the scene and the players are going one way and you're like, okay, I think it's going to be sad. And then they change it to this most ridiculous moment. And then the music is playing, you're like, ooh, this is kind of killing the mood. And I can tell that everyone's like this, like there's more like there's more pauses because they're kind of out of it, and I'm just like, that's my fault. I played the wrong music and I totally broke the immersion. Breaking the immersion is the worst.
Yeah. Yeah, no, I will admit I was a little surprised when you said like you're DMing and running the music live in the game at the same time, because that does sound like just a lot of work.
Yeah.
Keeping up with both those things. It's, yeah. You know, I listen to Glass Cannon podcast, of course, and, you know, they have one of the players in charge of that stuff, just because it's like, it is so much, being the Dungeon Master is already so much work.
Mm-hmm.
And setting the mood on top of that with your words, and then also with the music, it's, I would almost need to have, like, a bunch of hotkeys where it's just like, one says happy, one says sad, and I can just punch them as fast as I need to.
Yeah, I used to have that. I use a Razer gamepad, and I set it to D&D mode, and where my button was just like even like one instance, all the players have their own theme songs that are original that we wrote. So it's like, oh, they're gonna get the last blow, and I'm like, okay, they're about to kill it. Play their theme song while they're killing it, or it's like it's their sad song when they're seeing something about their history. So I have to make sure I hit it, and you can sometimes hit the wrong one, and it is just like this happy go lucky song, and everyone's like and like they totally like burst the bubble and come out of it, and I'm like, all right, hold on, rewind, we're gonna get back into it again. I played the wrong song and ruined it.
Edit break.
Yeah. Like they hear clown music like do, and they're like
and then my mother died in my arms.
Exactly. So yeah, stuff like that has happened, but for the most part, I like it. I like doing the music because I think I can pretty much guess where it's going, and I'm like, it's a sad moment. I'm gonna play a sad song because I know I want them to be even sadder. I want tears. Like the players have actually cried, and where I know in tons of campaigns they have, but I like they've cried so much because the music is just has set them down, and then they're still acting, they're still being the characters, yet all that tear and that juicy emotion is coming out, and I love it. I revel in that, in the feeling of the game, because I love being transported to another world, like, entirely.
I don't think anybody who listens to this will question your passion for this. you're very excited about it, I can tell, and in a very good way. Like, it's a wonderful thing to have, especially from the person who's in charge.
Oh, thank you.
Yeah,
I love it.
So in your opinion, why do you think more people don't use music? Do you think they're just like kind of intimidated by it a bit, or they just don't want to hassle with figuring out how to start it, or what?
I would think a combination of both. I'd definitely say people are intimidated by it because they don't want to play. It's a lot to, as you were saying before, to take care of, make sure that you're still in the game, but you play the right music. It's something like extra, and like, why would you want to make your job even more difficult kind of thing? And then also the fact that it's, you don't want to play the wrong song, or maybe you just don't want to ruin the moment. You just, because you don't want, what if someone doesn't hear you? What if someone has their volume too low? And there's a lot of things that can go wrong. So is it the risk worth the reward? And I would say yes. Maybe at first you'll fumble a little bit, but I think with some practice and having everything organized, organization is key. Like I said with Bartley, I have sad songs, and I have character A sad songs, character B sad songs, battle songs. So I have it all listed, so it's just easy to click 1, 2, 3. So the moral of the story is that if you just make it as easy as possible, you won't have to be intimidated by it. You can easily just switch. And if you play the wrong song, just switch to another one. Just right there, and then you just keep going.
Yeah,
Barley is amazing for that.
I will say this, you know, we play Pathfinder. I don't know how familiar you are with Pathfinder, but it is it's a very rules heavy system.
Mm-hmm.
Getting into it, you're gonna make mistakes. Why not just, you know, make some more? It's fine.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Oh, totally. We just started a third show that we're working on, which is the Starfinder campaign.
Oh, nice.
So, and I, coming from someone who mostly did 3.5 for E, 5E, but going it from just strictly doing 5E and doing Starfinder, I was like, whoa, this is a lot, but I'm gonna work it out. And there were some kinks, but we had some spacey music going on, and we just got into it, and yeah, just took chances, got messy, make mistakes, you know, Miss Frizzle sets.
Oh man, they made new seasons of that, and I got my kids to watch it on Netflix, and they were so excited to see, and I was excited to watch it because, you know, it's like, you know, basically all I need that is that and another season of Reading Rainbow, and I'm my childhood is revamped.
Right? Yes. Exactly. I love it.
So anyway, so you bring up Starfinder, which is nice. It also kind of points out the different types of campaigns need different types of music, and it's not just the settings, because obviously, you know, your space stuff can have a similar stuff. You know, if you look at like Firefly is probably the prime example of like, okay, where you can have like a Western music in space. Star Wars, you can have your big epic fantasy music in space, but also the feel, because you mentioned you have your drama campaign and you have your comedy campaign. Is it like, do you have just as many sad songs for the comedy one, or is like, do you just have like multiple happier songs, or like, what is the real difference between the feel of the campaigns and how you do music for it?
Oh, totally. So Zeki, who plays Calamity Cal Morgul in Descent to the Void, is the DM for The Natural Ones, which is the comedy. Though it does have serious moments, but it's more focused on the comedy side. Originally, the first episode didn't have music, and then we got licenses for other songs and use it within the entire company. And in Natural Ones, it definitely is more of a, like, you'll have the village music where you're walking to a village and more whimsical music, whereas in Descent into the Void, it's those death scenes, dramatic music. The song's a lot more somber and remorseful, which will pull a tear, whereas in Natural Ones, you wouldn't be pulled in that way, where it's a more uplifting, happy campaign. Though I say happy now, stuff still happens in there that will make your heads roll, but
it's more like it. You know, if they win a big fight in your dramatic one, is like the sad of like, okay, you had to kill somebody, whereas in the other one it's like you are victorious,
right? Yeah.
Which one do you think is easier?
I don't know which one would be considered easier, because it depends on the person. So Zeki does the music, he puts the music on for his campaign, Natural Ones, and I would feel that it would be harder for me, because I'm more of a dramatic person personally, so I live for those moments. So like all the TV shows, Game of Thrones, things like that, of that nature, where just like those passionate sad songs and things always happen, bad happen, Walking Dead, like I draw naturally to that, so I'm just like, yeah, this is a scene, this is sad, we're gonna need to have some strings here. And like I said, I did music, I went to school for music, so I have a slight unfair advantage, but and I'm like, this is a sad moment. But then it's like, when it comes to like the happy times, I'm like, I don't know what's happy. I don't know. I was like, I can't do happy that well. And I go, Zeki, what's good, what's happy, what's laughter? And he's like, this is funny. I'm like, I don't do funny. So for whatever reason, this is why we have the split between our campaigns, and I love it. I love that we have such a diverse group of people who can bring all of that, because I'm just super dramatic and somber when it comes to like the types of things I'm into in TV shows and music and things like that, because I like that emotional, like heart-wrenching. So I think, to answer your question, it depends on who you are. It's like, for me personally, the happy is harder than the dramatically sad.
No, that's fair. That's fair. I mean, I have found on a personal level that the music that I'm listening to can directly affect my mood. So it's I can see how what mood you're in affects the music that you make. It's like the Willy Wonka, Charlie and the Chocolate Factory. You know,
yeah.
When Johnny Depp's like, I feel sad. That's why my candy sucks.
Yeah. Yeah.
Not exactly. That if you feel sad, your music would suck, but, you know, sad mood, sad music is what I'm... That one got off the rails.
No, totally. And but I would say, warning, don't go into it feeling sad and listening, because you'll just kind of exacerbate it and make yourself feel sadder, and you don't want to edit or do D&D sad. You just want to... there's definitely a meta moment you have where... You realize you're not this character, so don't bring yourself down, but you still want to give your all so you're fully immersed into it. So I would just say there's a little bit of, just make sure you have that wall separating too, so you don't go deep down when it comes to the dramatic kind of scenes and all that, especially if it hits. Because our campaign can hit some triggers for certain people, because where we don't do anything that's like over the rails or terrible or torture, things like that, but it does touch some dark themes in there that we see every day. It's kind of like a therapy we use, because we all have our own problems. So this D&D is like, or just TTRPG, is a therapy for us, so we touch upon that and we overcome it in the most fantastical exuberant ways with magic and such. So I make sure we do have talks about, like, how are we feeling? Let's get our minds right and make sure everything, we have check-ins, make sure everyone's good, and then be like, well, this is going to be a dramatic one, I feel. So we're going to have some hard dramatic music. So everyone bring your drama. And they're like, yep, and they turn it and they flip and turn it on. And I think that just comes with practice. And the more you play and use these themes, the better you get at it.
Oh, yeah. Yeah, actually, we in one of the previous episodes, we talked about doing that just as a regular thing. Not just like, hey, how are you feeling about this? Like, how are you feeling about the game? But also, how is your character feeling? Helps people get in the mindset of what's going on and everything. So it can help them, especially, you know, if it's been a little while since you've played or a lot has happened in the last couple sessions. It's a good way to kind of refresh everybody and get them where they're... Yeah, and maybe even sometimes they realize something else about their character. You know, like, yeah, I didn't think about it, but my character would totally be upset about this or something like that.
Yeah, and we touch upon that. So we have an after show called Should Have Had a D8, where we, like, have either... Where everyone... and we all get together, well, the cast members of each show, or even guests come on, and we just basically... talk about, like, what happened last episode, and I recap the last episode, and I'm like, so what was your character thinking when you did this? And, like, what did your character think? How would your character react if they found out that this really happened or something to the third? And they always give, like, that we dive deep into it. Meanwhile, there's music playing in it, and it's kind of like that, like, calm coffee house music to get everyone's kind of, like, chilled, because during sessions, like, although we're having fun, we're kind of, like, serious and into it and bringing our A game. So I'm like, now unwrap it, unravel, listen to this nice, calming coffee music, and tell me how you were feeling then. And we just dive deep into the psychosomatic of their characters.
Yeah. I'm just going to point out, I love looking and, like, hearing about new podcasts, because it's almost a guarantee that there's a pun in there somewhere. And that one is fantastic. Should have had a D8.
It was one of our play. I can't even take credit for that. I think, actually, no. We as a group, I think we all came up with that. I don't remember the other names we had, but it was all like, should have had a D8. We slapped ourselves in the head. Oh, that's why, because we were playing and in a bardic inspiration at that time was a D8, and we were like, should have had a D8, and we're like, wait, that would be a good idea for a show.
You know, it's almost, you know, a good way to pitch a sponsorship, baby. You know,
yeah. So, yeah. Exactly.
Anyway, so, like, yeah. So, what you were saying, you know, that smooth mellow stuff. I found one. Listeners familiar with Shield Bash, we start like our pitch is we want it to seem like you're actually sitting at a normal group, like barely even a podcast, right? So we start our episodes and, you know, we're just shooting the shit and talking about whatever. And I've got this music. It's called Southside, again, by Lee Rosevear. And it's just this, you know, it's music that you would almost think that you'd hear just sitting out in your backyard on a sunny summer day. Glass of lemonade, feet up, just on a porch swing. Keeps it all nice and smooth and relaxed and lets people know that, like, you know, none of this is that important. And then we go into the actual music for the show.
Oh no, totally. I love it. And then so you can see, like, I just think music is just so important. And then I'm saying it's the end all be all. You need to have music. There's tons of great podcasts I listen to that didn't have music, but I just personally just think that brings a whole nother level, like a new element. Like, you can't go wrong by putting music, both post or during. It's just like adds another layer that can only just exemplify the work that everyone in TTRPG community puts into their podcasts.
I'm gonna challenge you on that. Do you think you literally can't go wrong, or do you think somebody can actually do it the wrong way?
Well, yes. If you pick, you need the right music. Like I said, if someone's dying and you have do 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 in the background, it's gonna totally throw it off. And yes, but I feel that as like in the TTRPG community and nerd culture, if you will, is like we all have that. Like, we all played video games. We all play. Like, everyone has like that. They know you watch TV shows, like I'll go back again, like Westworld, Game of Thrones, where that music scene that you're crying and you're just like, you're hearing it, everybody knows it. You just have to dig deep and remember. It's not wrong to emulate something you've heard. I emulate one of my favorite composers for music, and that inspired me to do music was Hans Zimmer, who he does like the Pirates of the Caribbean movies.
Oh, yeah.
And like
tons of things.
Tons of things. Hans Zimmer, though. Hans Zimmer is fantastic. In Inception, it's just like that. Those sounds like make that movie. When you hear that, like if you ever seen Interstellar, when you hear that organ going on when they're going to space, it's like, ding, like you're just like feeling it, like your body's vibrating. It's like, that's the power of music. And so I feel like you, us as just people who enjoy that content, also have that ability. It's don't think that you can't add the music. You know what kind of music. The trick is just finding it and making sure you get good quality music, give credit, and make sure you like don't steal music, get the rights to it, and then use it in your content. And I feel like it's almost like you can almost do no wrong, would be how I would say that.
It's hard to screw up.
Yeah.
But don't try to get license for Hans Zimmer stuff. We can't afford that.
Been there to try that. Nope. Just like, hey, we're just a normal small business TTRPG podcast. Mind if we use your music? Not even in a response.
So,
fair enough. I love you, Hans Zimmer. It's okay though. I love you.
Yeah, no, that's we have this joke whenever somebody happens to bring up in conversation like a celebrity. You know, one of the guys is always like, hey, you know, Tom Hanks, if you listen to this and you want to come game with us, you know, just hit us up. Here's the Gmail. You can have it come play Pathfinder with us.
Mm-hmm.
It's like, yeah, there's no way we're going to attract that kind of attention, but it's nice to think about it.
Yeah, it's always nice to dream.
Yeah.
And so, you never know.
Yeah, you know, it could be that, you know, Dwayne The Rock Johnson just happens to be perusing podcasts and is like, oh, this one seems... I'll listen to an episode of this and hears his name and goes, you know what? Screw it. Let's make their day.
Yes.
With the music, let's say you're just starting out. How do you recommend somebody starts getting music into their game? And let's say, you know, it's not a podcast, it's just a home game. Do you think they start... Obviously, they probably don't start making customized playlists because, you know, while most DMs do have that frantic energy of just like, I'm going to create and create and create, it's not always a feasible way to start. So, like, what would be your recommendation for somebody who's just like, you know, I just want to get some mood music in my game?
I would definitely say YouTube, best place to start. Possibly, if you got speakers, it doesn't have to be best, so you can put them in a nice corner, so it's out of the way and everyone can hear it. And look for video games. We went over Skyrim. I say start with Skyrim. Skyrim has everything. It's basically D&D, the video game. How like Skyrim is, if you, and that's like kind of like we'll using D&D for instance. Skyrim is great. Or if you're going to use sci-fi, just pick a sci-fi video game like Mass Effect. It's an amazing soundtrack and it's about space. Use that and then pick games that you love, like something that's closer to you, because you'll be more comfortable because you're like, I know this song. This is the daylight song that happens when the sun rises in Skyrim. So I would use it when the players wake up in the morning and just have it just tabs. If your computer can handle the many tabs in Google, just have each one in tabs and just switch to each one. If not, then, you know, just go ahead and search it. Maybe make a favorites. And that's when it goes, making a playlist. Making a playlist, it just makes it easier because you can just switch and go to the next one. And worst, then, like, I started off with just, like, Skyrim background music playing. That was the entire thing. It just led to three hour just play. Even because it's kind of neutral enough now, no matter what, unless you're going to a battle, and then you just pick battle music and you have that like denna denna, which is fine. But just normal music for most of the campaign, you could pick Skyrim or any game like that and just let it play and then leave it, let it set and forget it. It'll work, trust me.
Gotcha. It'll just work. So just kind of leave it running kind of all the time, and maybe, you know, in specific moments that you know ahead of time, you know, while everybody's rolling initiative, you switch over to...
Exactly, yes.
I've done exactly what you suggested. You know, that 3 hour loop of Skyrim stuff. I've also the Mandalorian theme song.
Yeah.
You can find an hour and a half loop of that, and that's kind of chill, but at the same time has its high points. So like it's a good thing to keep people kind of concentrating on what's going on. So looking at this, some people suggest only using music in dramatic scenes. What's your opinion on that?
I think that works. So I've seen I've listened to other podcasts where the music, it's silent and the music comes on during a scene, which works. If you watch movies, music is not playing all the time. It plays most of the time, honestly. If you listen to if you really pay attention to the movies, there's always something playing in the background, but it gets louder during those dramatic moments. I personally feel that just having subtle background music on all the time kind of just keeps people in the mood, and I prefer that one. There's nothing wrong with this is a moment, put on music, and then people start to get into it more. I would say that if you do it that way, it kind of trains the players or whoever's in it, like the subconsciously, to, oh, the music is on, you'll just get into it more. Whereas, because in, for instance, Descent to the Void, at any moment, shit could hit the fan. Something could happen. And by having like the normal background music on for the scene, like if they're traveling in a whimsical, in a misty forest, during that entire time, even though it's not dramatic, it's still kind of creepy. It's still, I want them to always have that feeling of being on edge. And then like when something big dramatic happens, stop it, then put on the dramatic music.
So the other benefit to, I think, to the way you do it, where the music's always going, is you also have the option of making it seem dissonant by all of a sudden not having music.
Yeah. Totally. Good point.
So I know that's some of the more interesting effects, like you see, because like you mentioned in movies, there's always some sound.
Mm-hmm.
You know, but I think Quantum of Solace is the one that I think I remember best doing this, the James Bond movie, mm-hmm. where there was a scene where it was like, there was just no sound in it intentionally. Like it was this big car chase through the desert and there was just no sound. And, you know, they even washed out the colors. So it just seemed something like you're just like looking at it like, why is this happening this way? You know, because you're so used to it the other way.
Mm-hmm.
So.
Yeah. And that's like, yeah, that shows the power of music. Even not having it, like you just get a feeling like there's no music playing. There's nothing. It's silence. Brings about emotion. Like even if you've ever seen Atomic Blonde in the movie, in the scene when she's like fighting everyone on the staircase, it's completely silent. And all you hear is just the punches and the kicks and the screams. And that's supposed to, it's because that's what you're focusing on that. Like it's more intense. And I think silence is still music in a way.
Yeah. Yeah, especially when you're, in the contrast.
Mm-hmm. Exactly. So, yeah.
Yeah. So I had a fun thought. So we already mentioned Skyrim. We mentioned Mandalorian and Mass Effect. You want to do a back and forth on other things that have a good soundtrack?
Oh yeah. World of Warcraft.
Okay.
Blizzard makes amazing music.
Borderlands.
Oh, Borderlands is fantastic. I would say Avatar The Last Airbender has amazing music that make you feel as the TV show.
Yeah, no, I don't think I've ever really listened to just the music from that. I've seen the show, but I've never really thought about the music. Lord of the Rings, obviously.
Oh, yeah, totally. Anything by John Williams, so that would be Indiana Jones, the Star Wars, Harry Potter. It's just any of those are amazing. He's just an amazing composer as well.
Oh yeah, yeah. I mean, John Williams, Hans Zimmer, and Danny Elfman are like the top three in the entire industry.
Totally.
The original Dungeons and Dragons movie. I'm not going to speak to the quality of the movie, but the soundtrack is really good for, you know, your fantasy games.
Totally. I know exactly. I've seen it, and yes, the movie, questionable, but the music, yes, it is pretty good. Also, think of anime music is really good. Like, I love music by, make sure I'm saying it, Yuki Hiyashi. He does stuff like, Haikyuu and other anime like that, and like it's just really dramatic music that gets you in a moment, because like, you know, anime is extremely over the top, and not really? For nothing. Yeah. It's a truly a hyperbole to life. And that's, so we, when we came out as a Tense of the Void, we were like, it's an anime centric podcast or campaign, because everyone's just really dramatic, not in the sense where they're overacting, but it's like something, if something's happening, it's going to be big. And we did use a lot of music from another anime called Kimetsu no Yaiba, which is like intense. It's very, anime music is very intense, very quick, and very spot on. Like you listen to it, like, this is a scene when the character is fighting another character, and it must be an intense. And I'm like, yep, put that on loop to invoke that feeling. So don't be afraid to use anime music. It's fantastic.
Do you have a recommended anime? Obviously, you've mentioned a few here, but are there any others that you think are really good for people to check out?
Attack on Titan, if you have like a dark campaign like ours, which is like just big like drums and horns, and it's just like, and then like, it's intense, it's fast paced, it'll keep you on edge, because if you can imagine, like, Attack on Titan's about giant titan like size monsters eating people, so if you can think about that, how intense that is, the music has to equal that intensity. So you have an intense campaign that's like an excellent soundtrack to use.
Very cool. I admit it, I haven't watched very much anime in the past decade or so, but it's I think Full Metal Alchemist.
Oh yeah,
yeah. That one's obviously, it's not the big intense battles as much, but you know, it's got a lot more, I think, diversity in it, because there's a lot of different types of scenes in that one. I'm trying to think of any other really good ones to recommend, and I'm kind of drawing a blank here.
For anything by Hiroyuki Sawano, he did he does a whole bunch of music, including Attack on Titan, but he does a whole bunch of different other anime, like Kill la Kill, Gundams, things like that, and like, you know, that those are epic animes, and his music are just the only thing I can say is that to describe his music is just epic. And if you have a campaign when epic things happen, pull from Hiroyuki Sawano. So, things like that.
Okay, I don't have a composer, but I do have another series. The theme music from the Metal Gear series.
Oh my goodness, yes. We have used that. They have perfect covert-like music, especially, that's intense. So every time they're sneaking around, like when I'm playing in my non-recorded session, or if I'm just playing it for our session and I'll just change it in post, I use that, like, they're sneaking around being chased, I'll pull some Metal Gear Solid music because it's so good.
Yeah. So listeners, I think what we're really getting at here is there's a lot of stuff out there. You know, don't be afraid to experiment with it. Don't be afraid to ask your players for recommendations. You know, especially if you happen to have a player that is, you know, that went to school for music and knows how to compile those things, you know, get him in on it.
Oh, totally. I 100% agree. 100% agree, yeah. Really quick, I asked my players to pick, I was like, these are songs we have license to, pick like your theme song or pick a song that means to you, and I'll add it to your playlist. And I even had them make their own playlist, like, make me a playlist that is your character. Both real songs, like a lot of players pick like 80 songs on a Spotify playlist that's like, this is Monaco's playlist or something like that, one of the characters, and then I'm like pick an actual playlist that songs that we'll use in for your character in the campaign, so that gets them involved and it makes them feel more like I had a piece in making the campaign, making the quality of the campaign.
Oh yeah, yeah, I know, I like that a lot. Even if you're not going to use that music,
mm-hmm,
it makes them start thinking, like, what kind of music, like, really portrays my character?
Mm-hmm.
Like, that's, you know, because we have this website. Advocate, I guess, is the best word for it. It's called The 100 Most Important Questions for Your Character. It's from Mini World. And, you know, it's this generic list of, like, what is your middle name? Who are your parents? What do they do? So what do you do on a Saturday night if you're not adventuring? You know, just that full list of things. But they don't have questions about, like, what kind of music exemplifies your character. And now I'm sitting here thinking about Tam West Crown and trying to figure out, like, what is her theme song? You know, when she goes to WrestleMania, what plays when she tromps her way down the aisle?
Mm-hmm.
and that's going to bother me the whole rest of the night, and I'm going to stop worrying about it right now, because otherwise I'm going to sit here quietly staring off in the distance. So, you know, I think we've pretty well established music equals good.
Yeah.
You know, even if you're still just kind of figuring it out, it's hard to do it wrong unless you're doing it intentionally wrong. Any other closing thoughts? Any other bits that you're just like, man, I can't wait to bring this up, but it hasn't come up yet?
I guess my final thoughts is just the music, believe in the music. It's cathartic, it's inspirational, and it's healing. And you can, although we like to separate our real lives from the game, it could help to deal with our real life problems, and just it's therapeutic. And for people who are just shy away from using music, or trying their best, afraid to make their own music, just don't be afraid. Hop right into it. It's so peaceful, and to see something that you've worked on so much to be put on and in your players or your DM or what have you, saying, "Wow, this is great," and that you'll feel amazing. Like, it's worth it. It can be hard work, but it's worth it in the end.
Great. I think my closing thought is, if you do reach that point where you're just like, it's just one more thing, and you know, you're sitting here thinking like, these guys don't know what they're talking about, that's just too much, just have one of your players do it. Mm-hmm. Like, I guarantee there's probably somebody in your group who's just like, yeah, I would love to, that sounds great, I'll do that. And giving them that little bit of control, like you mentioned earlier, it makes them feel more invested, because now they're in charge of something that's important to the game. But that's pretty much it for us. This is one of those times where we're both kind of on the same page, where we're both very much like, yes, music is good, mostly because I also can't imagine somebody being like, no, music bad, especially in something where you're creating media. You know, every TV show, movie, I mean, heck, there are times when I read books and I can hear the music in the book. It's just, it's such an omnipresent thing. We hope that you guys learned, you learned something from this, that you took something away, even if it's just a renewed desire. I know I got the Bardley website, and I'm going to sit down with like all the characters I currently play and try to figure out what their theme song is and what other music really goes with them, because, you know, it's a good insight. And other than that, Omar, thank you very much. A Tale of D20s will be linked in the show description, as well as all the social media posts when this goes up. So look for them. They've got two. By the time this comes out, I imagine the Starfinder one will have joined them, and give them a listen. And if you're from one of the Tale of D20s feeds, come check us out. We're kind of vulgar, but we try to have a good time.
Love a good time.
Goodbye, listeners.
Bye, everybody. Take care.
Shield Bash is made in association with Knights of the Octagon and Farmageddon Gaming Convention. Find us online at shieldbash.net, on Facebook at Shield Bash, on Twitter at Bash Shield, and on YouTube at Shield Bash. Music by Lee Rosevere. Serpent Skull and Pathfinder are the property of Paizo Publishing Incorporated. Leave a comment on iTunes for a chance to hear us read it out on the podcast. Questions and comments can be sent to shieldbashpodcast@gmail.com.